It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. And as I often do, I'm going to start with a story, a true story. The family of four finally finished ordering their Chinese food at Panda Express. The misunderstandings were cleared up. The unique, specific questions had also been answered, and all the subtle nuances to their order were eventually understood, although frankly, I did not believe I would live to see the day. I have no idea how much time passed as the rest of us stood helplessly in line, wondering what a Subway sandwich might taste like about now. All indicators suggested this family was planning a long, extended stay. Had they set up a tent? Had they hired a road worker to hold up a stop sign, we would not have been surprised. But again, all good things must come to an end, and yes, the order was finally completed, and I finally gave my order. They actually put my order, my food, on a plate and on a tray. I proceeded to the cash register. Are you getting excited? Are you feeling the anticipation? Yes, I'm at the cash register, and then the Panda cash register stopped working. Some kind of computer glitch. Another 20 minutes passed as the frantic-looking cashier called tech support. There were no backup ledgers. There were no pocket calculators. Neither would they allow me to simply place my cash on the counter instead of using a credit card. This is because our computer age has made everything so incredibly convenient for everybody. Yes, I had long since ordered and already had my food in front of me before the tasty traditions of the ancient Orient went offline. Under most circumstances, I would have just left. What allowed me to give them another chance? Well, orange chicken, sweet fire chicken breast, kung pao chicken, shall I go on? Now, I don't mean to pick on one restaurant establishment. I have also seen people call computer-savvy technicians because their television sets would not turn on. How does a television set not turn on? Simple. It goes offline. Back in those archaic days of early television, we were too primitive for computers. Dummies like me merely turned a knob, and the set actually lit up at that point. Go figure. We did not have to get on the phone to India so that some stranger could talk us through the steps of bringing up the local news. And even when it's not actually offline, there are other computer-related issues with your television set. Have you noticed that every TV is different? It takes you ages to finally figure out the one in your own home, your own routine, but what if you're visiting a friend? You're staying with a friend, maybe you're on vacation, you're staying with them, your friend goes off to work, but you're there as a guest. Hey, feel free to use the TV while I'm gone. Make yourself at home. Watch whatever you want.
Oh, thanks. Great.
Only one problem. While you do finally understand all the bells and whistles associated with your own TV set at home, you stare at your friend's TV, you stare at the remote control. They may have three or four remote controls or one big daddy remote control, and you realize it has more options and more directions and more selections than lunchtime at the United Nations. Yes, this TV and this procedure and this protocol is very different from yours at home. You try to look through the directions, assuming they even remembered to give you any directions. If they didn't, pack it up. Go for a walk. It ain't gonna happen. But let's say they even wrote some directions out for you. Push the upper left-hand button. Watch for the red light to flash three times. Then hit the blue button while standing on one foot. Click your shoes together three times and mutter, I want to go home. I want to go home. I want to go home. Folks, please understand, I have nothing against modernization. I have nothing against computers. I live on a computer. As a writer, I use my laptop constantly. As a researcher, I'm constantly on the internet. But it is a bit disconcerting to not have backup plans in situations. Computers, after all, have found their way into practically every corner of life. I have seen pre-recorded segments of my radio show fail to play because the computer froze. I have seen lights in a live stage musical refuse to go off on cue because, you guessed it, these lighting boards are all run by a computer now. Someday, toasters will go offline. So will ovens that bake Thanksgiving dinners on that day, since the title will be appropriate. Just be thankful that we live in such modern, sophisticated times. Then again, you may appreciate that the pilgrims were able to enjoy their first Thanksgiving dinner precisely because the Mayflower had no PCs on board. They didn't have to call India to get the first Thanksgiving dinner going. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Call Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
Some more beautiful.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values. That what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Israel twice. The first time it was such an emotional experience, I kept a personal diary. From time to time, I share selections from this very diary, and I'm going to do so again today because Israel is back in the news. Several horrible terrorist attacks. They're emboldened, of course, by our spineless administration. But here is a portion of my journal from the fall of 2008. Visiting Israel is like visiting hundreds of countries at one time. Every nation on earth sends people to this mysterious place. Every tour is an international experience. So is every restaurant. Today I write you from the vortex of the world. Not only do thousands of people groups converge on the holy city of Jerusalem, but some 4,000 years of history are also piled on top of one another. From the temple wall, I stare across the Mount of Olives and other mountains. It's a mosaic of green meadows, ancient stone fences, churches, mosques, and other structures from biblical times to medieval times to the time of the Ottoman Empire to the modern era.
Yes, in Israel, we see almost every time period, and throughout history, these same chunks of chronology were dominated by an active interest in Israel, whether they called it Judea, Palestine, or the Holy Land. From the ancient Philistines who tried to conquer her, to the Babylonians who succeeded, to the Greeks, the Romans, the Muslims, the Crusaders, the Turks, and the British, Israel history is world history. In present day, Israel is a topic discussed over coffee all over the outdoor cafes of Europe. She's a controversial subject for almost every United Nations gathering. She's a thorn to Russia and France, with their interest in oil offered generously by Israel's hostile neighbors. She's a human rights concern on college campuses who are attuned to the politically correct plight of the Palestinians. You can be in Brazil, you can be in India, you can be in Australia, you can be in Canada, and you will still hear talk about Israel. Israel. A tiny piece of property, no bigger than the state of New Jersey. She had bigger borders in ancient times, yet even then, Israel was a pipsqueak nation compared to the mighty Egypt or the mighty Rome or the Soviet Union and United States on the horizon. One modest slice of real estate in the Mediterranean, and yet it captivates the interest of the entire globe. Three religions consider this place to be their place, their holy place. Secular people take interest for other reasons, but whatever the reason, whatever the cause, whatever the lie, whatever the truth, whatever the struggle, the Middle East controls the passions of our planet. One must marvel, for certainly God knew what he was doing 4 millennia ago when he promised this land to Abraham and his descendants. Both the Old and New Testaments predict that Israel will have a lot to do with the future of human history. One has only to look at the past of human history to see some evidence that the Bible may just be the word of God after all. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Last week, we discussed the doctrine of predestination. I and my guest, Jim Barrier, both pointed out that although the word is found in Scripture, it is taken out of context by Calvinists. No, God does not predestine or elect who will or will not be saved. That is a choice we make for ourselves. Having said that, I should tell you there is another kind of predestination that is related to election. For example, the election year of 2020, Joe Biden was predestined to win regardless of the free will of the voters. Here to work against such fraud is recurring guest Ruth Wise of Election Integrity Project California. Ruth, welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it so much. I'd actually like to start out tonight by telling everybody our website. And while they're getting ready to write it down, I want to tell you why I want to do that. Because we have a series of articles that we've been putting out, sending out to the people who receive our emails called Vote Safe 2022. And in this series of articles, we are giving all of the information that voters need to have to understand their system and to know how to protect their own vote and to make wise choices about the way in which they vote and when they vote and all of that. And so I really hope that people will go and look at those articles. We're going to talk about a couple of them tonight, but then I hope they will go and read them all and also read the ones that tell you how to become an involved citizen observer, which anybody can do. So our website is www.eip-ca.com. Go there and right front and center, you will see the Vote Safe 2022 logo and you can click on there and download all of those articles and read them and you will feel much better about the system because you will understand it and you'll know how to operate within it.
Wonderful. Now, Ruth, I realize people are very frustrated with our election system right now, many to the point of not even wanting to vote at all. They don't think it's even going to do any good. I know there are a lot of things you wanted to talk about today, but I know this was among them. How would you address people's concerns and some of their reasons for not voting?
I think it's a complicated answer right now, especially in California. Not only do we get discouraged because we look at results that don't seem to match up with what we assume the expectation could have been, and we just get frustrated after a while. On top of that, there was the huge election of 2020 that was so emotional. And then that was a big letdown for a lot of individuals when they saw the results there. And then California jumped right into a very huge statewide election in 2021 to recall the governor. Everyone was really
to me like
there.
He was going to get recalled too.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of energy in that electoral effort, you know, and then that fell apart as well. And I think Californians are suffering from election exhaustion. And suddenly we're being told, hey, you got a primary coming up June 7th. And people are saying, oh, not another election. So on top of feeling discouraged because they just don't think that they can win, they're also feeling frustrated by all of the noise going around about fraud and election manipulation. And then they're just tired.
Now, the last few times you were on my show, we were talking about that recall election, and I know that a lot of fraud was uncovered. At that time, it seemed indeterminate to make a declaration about whether that was enough fraud to actually sway it in the direction of Governor Newsom. Has that changed? Is Election Integrity Project ready to say it's pretty clear this election was stolen?
No, we haven't. We don't look into that kind of thing in that way. And as you're noticing, we're still back getting just the very beginnings of the information out of the 2020 election. Every day, something else comes out. Everybody expects to determine, oh, it was stolen within, you know, 30 days of the election. And that's just not possible. So what we're doing is trying to help people look toward the future and make sure that the future elections are much more secure, even in the state of California, given, you know, our circumstances by making better choices as voters in terms of how they vote. They don't want to vote in the primary. This has been a common problem, right? Oh, it's only the primary. I'll wait till the general.
Well, especially with the kind of primaries we have here, explain the jungle primary, because this is pretty bizarre where basically one party can't really nominate their own candidate.
the members of the opposing party can go in and nominate the candidate that they think would lose to the guy in their party.
Right. In 2010, Californians were kind of duped into voting for Prop 14, and that created the jungle primary, or what's called the top two primary. And that means that except for the presidential race, there is no relevance to the party you're related to when you go in to vote. You just walk in and all the candidates are there. You get to vote for anybody in any party. What that does is make sure that nobody in a minor party is ever going to have someone that reflects their views on the ballot in the general election. And that, to me, looks like election suppression, you know, voter suppression, because you're giving these people not a hope that they can vote for their own candidate.
Well, not only that, but again, the Republicans aren't able to nominate their own candidate.
Republicans cannot nominate their candidate, neither can the Democrats, neither can any other party. And quite often now it has resulted that in many areas you have either two Democrats or two Republicans running against one another. It rips the parties apart. It rips people apart.
Doesn't that contradict the very word nomination? The parties are supposed to nominate the candidate that they want to put against the opposing candidate.
It absolutely does.
It's not even a true nomination.
It turned the definition of primary on its head, and it's not really a primary anymore. It's just a narrowing down to the top two, and that's really the wrong way to go.
Well, we're redefining everything else these days. I guess we may as well redefine primary too.
That's true. But what we want to point out is that a lot of elections are final at the end of the primary. And so if you choose not to vote until the primary and just wait until the general, there are a lot of decisions that will be made in the primary.
Because they have the top two, and one of those two is pretty slated to win.
One of those two got more than 50. Right.
Right. And so at that time, they won't even do the general election, or it'll just be understood how the general election will go?
No, it's just that any election in the primary where a candidate gets 50% plus one, it's over.
It's not even going to be another
election. It's over. It's not even in the general. So you'll find that, I didn't get to vote for district attorney. I didn't get to vote for sheriff. I didn't get to vote for whatever.
All right. Are you hearing this, folks? You need to vote in the primaries. You need to stop saying it's just a primary. These are very important. Maybe they shouldn't have become what they are. Maybe you don't like what they've morphed into, but they have. And we need to say that's the world we're living in right now.
Right. And then get behind the moves to try to turn that over and not have the jungle primary anymore. Also, you were talking about people concerned about fraud and manipulation and why should I vote because my vote's not going to count. Well, the greatest tool for fraud in the country is the vote by mail. And other states have figured that out, but California is all in on vote by mail.
Well, I think California has figured out that it's a good way to cheat. I think that's what they figured out.
Well, I think that's exactly true, that when the presidential commissions came down and said, we did a deep dive and it really is a tool for fraud and it doesn't fulfill five of the basic requirements of a fair and honest election, and you shouldn't have vote by mail except for the isolated absentee ballot that's necessary. California said, it's a tool for fraud. Good. And they just
passed it all in. Yeah, exactly. They said, great. You just talked us into doing it.
So they did away with the absentee ballot. They initiated vote by mail. And then because it wasn't building fast enough, people weren't buying into it fast enough, they started forcing it and pushing it. And then they passed the Voters' Choice Act. And basically now Californians are looking at movies like 2000 Mules and realizing that what they're seeing in that movie that everyone else in the country is so horrified by is actually legal in the state of California.
Now, you have seen the movie, too.
I have,
Can you tell us a little bit about it? We probably have people that have not seen it yet. I've seen about half of it. I still haven't watched the entire thing, but it is free and available to watch right online, isn't it?
Yes, in many places you can just get the link online and it's free to watch.
I assume the theaters aren't even carrying it.
No, they're not.
The news won't talk about it. Even Fox News will not mention it, which is very disappointing, although not entirely unexpected. Tell us a little bit about this movie.
Yes, well, Katherine Engelbrecht from True the Vote, who's a good friend of ours, and also the people that she works with in Dinesh D'Souza, started using some very sophisticated research and geo-tracking and some hidden cameras and whatever, and they were able to uncover information just in the few states that they worked in.
These were cameras that were already surveilling the election,
but they
managed to get a hold of the footage somehow.
Well, drop boxes, which are becoming very popular and also are a huge tool for fraud, are out in public areas, which are surveilled. There are public cameras around there surveilling these areas. And then they were able to track and find what they're calling mules, people who are taking vote-by-mail ballots that aren't all theirs. And they are stuffing ballot boxes in counties and states where it is illegal to turn in more than one ballot. You can turn in just yours, and nobody else's, which isn't true in California. And so they tracked all these 2,000 mules, they're calling them, who turned in 10s and 20s and 30s and 50s and hundreds of ballots over a series of nights at 2 a.m. They would go to an outside drop box and just put in a few. They saw them taking photographs of that to prove that they did it. So clearly they were being paid to do it. And this is one of the ways that that election was manipulated and the results were not what people thought they should have been.
And they were able to match this against the amount of people that had registered to vote to see that they must have been fraudulent because the math just didn't add up.
It's very sophisticated research and it's really amazing. Everyone should watch it.
Did this movie do anything about the Smartmatic and Dominion machines too, or?
No.
No, okay.
No, this movie did not talk about the machines. That's another topic, of course, that everybody's very concerned about with very good reason. Right now, the machines are in doubt. And there's a lot coming out about them in different researches. In fact, I just got another one today that indicates that they are manipulatable, that, you know, not that they all are manipulated, but they are capable of being used in that fashion, which we knew from the beginning. And so right now, we were talking earlier, Bob, about that. I think this is the key election. It is the last one we'll have where we have any chance of getting some sort of a fair return if voters turn out, if they actually participate, and if they outvote the fraud and manipulation that's planned. This is about the last time that's going to be possible.
So it has to be outvoted because we're not expecting a lot of the fraud to be stopped ahead of time?
I think so. Plus, if voters make positive choices about the way in which they submit their ballot, which I hope we can talk about a little bit later,
yes,
then yes, absolutely, there will be fewer ballots out there to be able to be manipulated, and that will help as well.
Okay, so talk to us about some of the different ways that you already mentioned vote by mail, and I know you want to say more about that. Some of the different ways that these elections are being manipulated and some of the things you're trying to do, some of the new laws you're trying to create through your organization, things that an individual can do to make sure their vote really counts.
Well, when you put together the laws of California, where we have anybody can vote by mail anytime they want to. Now anybody can turn in any number of ballots they want to with no chain of custody.
They can just say, oh, this is for my grandmother and this is for my Aunt Flossie.
And they don't even have to say that. They can just dump them. They can turn in 10, 20, 50, 100, you know, and just dump them and presume that somebody got them. You're handing every registered voter in the state of California a ballot without cleaning the voter rolls. So we have over 500,000 ballots, conservatively, being mailed out to someone who isn't there at the other end to get them. And those ballots are all loose. They're all loose. And unscrupulous people could scoop those up, vote them any way they want to. Now you take the new regulations from the Secretary of State involving signature verification, which means there is virtually no good way that they can get rid of a ballot that's illegal because they have to accept virtually everything. And so you've got this incredible recipe for fraud.
Well, and now the people that are working in the polls, though, aren't they supposed to match every ballot against somebody that actually registered? So wouldn't there have to be fraud on the other end for that to work?
Well, in the polls,
I mean, if somebody gets 50 ballots and not one of those persons' names is registered, what do? They should just toss those ballots.
They're voting for people who are registered because they haven't been removed from the rolls when they moved or when they died.
Oh, I see.
They're still getting those ballots out there.
So the people in the polls could be working innocently and they could
absolutely
really be finding a name on there.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the people that are doing this are very smart about it.
Yeah.
As smart as Smartmatic, I might say.
And what's unfortunate is that most people aren't going to the polls. That's one of the things I'd really like to move the needle on here tonight, is get people to go to the polls instead of just throwing their ballot in the mail.
All right, let's talk more about the need to go to the polls when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church.
Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm here with Ruth Wise of Election Integrity Project. Okay, Ruth, we were talking about the need to vote in person. Now, I know that there are places, some churches very innocently say, come here and give us your vote and we'll take them in for you. Even when people are asking that innocently, you contend that that's not a good idea. Why is that?
Well, there are six ways to return your vote by mail ballot, and we only recommend one of those ways. And I'm talking right now about San Diego. That sixth way is possible in San Diego. It's not necessarily possible everywhere else. But you can put it back in the U.S. Postal Service, which is a madhouse and a really, really, you know, flip of the coin as to whether it gets there, whether it gets there in good shape, et cetera. It's just a very bad idea. You can put it in a Dropbox. Someone sent me a photo today of the Dropbox that they ran across here in San Diego. There was a table outside in a parking lot at a local market with this canvas box and two people supervising. Well, you got to have a lot of faith to trust that that ballot that you stick in there is going to wind up in the right place when it's collected that way. So I wouldn't put my ballot there. There's certainly taking it directly to the registrar's office. At least you know it got there and got in the right place. You can turn it in a polling location. That's a pretty good way if you're going to use that ballot. But the way that we ask you to do it here in San Diego is to don't put that ballot in an envelope. You go to a polling place and they're going to be open for 11 days now because we adopted the Voters' Choice Act, which is another topic for another day. But 11 days you will have to vote anywhere you want to in the whole county. You are not limited to a precinct location. You can go anywhere you want. Take your ballot with you. Do not put it in the envelope. Check in as an in-person voter and then take that vote by mail ballot they sent you, the real paper ballot. You fill it out and put it in the box. It gets transported and counted the same night. No manipulation. If you turn your ballot in, however you turn it in, if you turn it in with an envelope, you have days and days and days and hundreds of hands that it goes through, and at every possible station, it can be either accidentally or intentionally manipulated. And you will never know whether the ballot you cast was counted the way in which you cast it when you vote by mail in an envelope. So we're saying just say nope to the envelope and go to the polls with your paper ballot the very first day you can and vote in person.
Okay, so that's what we can do to make sure that our vote is getting counted. What can we do in general to just start changing the system? What are you doing with Election Integrity Project? What's being done? What kinds of lawsuits, court cases?
Well, what we're doing for this election is to try to convince people we want to move the needle on this voting by mail. So we're trying to turn the ship, get more and more people, because the more people that show up at the polls, the more that the system begins to realize, oh, people don't want to necessarily vote by mail in the numbers that they've been doing it because they didn't know they had an option. Everyone's lying to you. Your politicians, your party people, your candidates are saying California is an all vote by mail state, and it is not. Every Californian has the right to vote in person, regardless of the fact you've received a vote by mail ballot. So don't get those two confused. And then on the larger scale, we have a lawsuit, which is going to be heard sometime this summer in the Ninth Circuit, which is challenging 2022, I think, or 23 California election laws that we believe to violate the Constitution of the United States of America. And so it's like a Gordian knot. All of these laws have been interacting with one another and tying themselves together to create the perfect storm of election manipulation. And we know that just getting rid of one or getting rid of the other isn't going to do it. And putting pressure on legislature in this environment isn't going to help. So we have to cut the Gordian knot.
Especially if the legislature isn't worried about how we're going to vote because they fixed the election.
Precisely. So we have to cut the Gordian knot the way that Alexander the Great did. And that is, we have to take out the sword and just hack it in half. And that's what our lawsuit is a way to say these laws are all unconstitutional and you have to stop following them all at once and reinstitute what we had before, which was a fair and honest election. Now, there are some things we also need to attack at the federal level, because the Help America Vote Act and the National Voter Registration Acts are way, way, way out of date. They are doing more harm than good now. They need to be revised.
Can you talk about what those acts are?
Yes, in 1993, the National Voter Registration Act was passed, and it was all very good intentions, and it required voter roll maintenance. But the DOJ has never enforced that law. And so every voter roll in the entire nation is out of whack.
So it's not outdated because it's a bad law. It's outdated because it's a law that's never been enforced.
But there's a law in it, too, that's also outdated. And the one main thing, that was the one we called the motor voter law. And the one thing that's really outdated is that at the time they passed it, no state was even considering giving a driver's license to a non-citizen, let alone an illegal. Now, almost every state issues driver's licenses to both those populations, which is a conduit to voter registration. So they need to redo that law so there is a firewall between getting a license to drive as someone who is not a citizen and being able to be instantly, and look at California, we have instant upload to register to vote the minute you interact with the registrar, with the DMV, whether you want to or not. And so these people are getting registered not even knowing it, and that's another name out there.
Even if somebody didn't intend to register.
Precisely,
to vote,
and that's another name out there that somebody else can then grab and vote in their name, and these people never know that they're voting. And then you said the Help America Vote Act was a 2002 law that required a top-down voter database for each state, so that when somebody registers to vote, you would know instantly they're not registered somewhere else in the state, and you don't have multiple registrations, which we had tons of in California because it was a county operation and they didn't compare voter rolls from county to county. I could have been registered in all 58 counties, especially when they instituted online registration. I could have done it in a half an hour and no one would have known.
They could register the name Donald Duck or Bart Simpson.
I could have registered in my own name.
Yeah.
In 58 counties, had my mailing address be the one mailing address, I could have received 58 ballots, cast them, and had them all counted. No one would have ever caught that. So, because California was out of compliance with that law for 14 years. Now we're supposedly in compliance, but what our organization has found is that that's a completely unreliable database, and that means that it's causing more chaos instead of less chaos. So those laws need to be updated, and then they need to be enforced by the DOJ, and then an awful lot of laws that California has have to be looked at and said, this doesn't pass constitutional muster.
Now, I know there are some states that are bringing in tougher voting laws. Can you tell us a few of these states offhand? I know some of them are saying you absolutely have to have a driver's license. What are some of the states that are passing some good laws just to
The news is coming in hot and heavy, and I don't want to make a mistake by saying a state did something.
Okay.
I'm not sure,
okay.
But I know Arizona is putting together some very, very fine laws. They had a anti-ballot harvesting law, which EIPCA was able to help them to keep that law in front of the Supreme Court.
Well, that's good, because they were one of the six states that I think got flipped.
Right. And we had all the evidence of the damage that was done by ballot harvesting here in California. We used that to help them at the Supreme Court level, and they won their lawsuit, their challenge, 6-3, and they can keep that anti-ballot harvesting law in place. And then they're also putting ID, citizenship, all these things that everybody thinks is common sense and is wildly popular among the population. 75%
Probably in
least.
Reality, wildly popular with everybody all over the country.
Absolutely.
Most people.
Absolutely. No, 75%.
We have have the tail wagging the dog here. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but I know that some of the states that got hit hard in 2020, like Pennsylvania, you know, those states are re-upping their laws, making them better. Yeah. Georgia is making an effort to make their laws better. Texas is making their laws better. There are a lot of states now that are coming aboard looking at what happened in 2020 and going the other direction, whereas California just went all on in the same direction and doubled down after 2020.
It seemed that the courts didn't want to touch this. I don't know if it was because they didn't want to be associated with Trump. With it not being about Trump anymore, do you think some of our courts are going to feel the freedom to look at what happened in 2020 and say, okay, Trump put aside, let's just make sure in general that this does not happen anywhere else?
Well, that's what we're hoping with our lawsuit. In 2020, the lawsuits failed because they were all about overturning a federal presidential election. That just wasn't going to happen without creating a civil war. And no court wants that responsibility. So they simply punted. They simply said, oh, you don't have standing, even if the standing was there. With our lawsuit, we're looking at the 2020 and the evidence.
But you're not asking for it to be overturned.
Not at all. We're
just saying learn from it.
This is evidence that we don't want to have this going forward.
Okay.
So that we can change things for the future.
All right. My guest is Ruth Wise of Election Integrity Project. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Reader enthusiasm for the dangerous Christmas ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
Welcome back again to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. The Washington Post published an op-ed calling upon George Washington University to change its name in as much as Washington was a slave owner. Yes, that was the self-righteous voice of the Washington Post. I guess I don't have to ask if anybody sees the irony. Say hello again to Ruth Wise.
Hi, Bob. So that series that I was talking about of articles that we want everybody to go to at eip-ca.com, the Vote Safe 2022, has a part five dealing with questions like, what do I do if? And this is a really important thing for readers to go and get, because as these ballots have gone out, we constantly get people contacting us and saying, I got two ballots. I got three ballots addressed
to me. Or I went down
me.
And they told me I already voted.
We're going to get to that, right. Too. Or I got a ballot addressed to somebody that used to live at my house, but they don't live there anymore, or they're deceased.
Are they allowed to just shred those ballots?
No, we have all of this advice here on what to do. What if I got the wrong ballot? What if I got a damaged ballot? What if I messed up my own ballot and I need a new one? All of that advice is right here. Any ballots addressed to you, that's yours. But any ballot that's addressed to someone else, it could be considered mail fraud if you shred it or throw it away or anything. So there are ways to handle that. And this article gives you step-by-step what to do with all of those eventualities. Next week, we're going to put out an article. What do I do at the polls? What if I show up to vote and they say, oh, you've already voted? Or no, I don't see you registered here. There are common sense ways to resolve that. Almost always, it's user error on the technology. We can get it resolved if voters know what to do, if voters know the question to ask. And so all of these articles are telling you this practical advice to make your voting experience fair, honest, transparent, and positive.
Okay, give us your website again.
EIP-CA.com.
Okay. Now, Ruth, I know you're a woman of faith. Could you speak to that a little bit? Because we need some comfort these days to realize that, okay, there may be some elements that are out of our control, but we need to put our faith in God.
Well, I don't believe that God is finished with the United States of America yet. I think we have done a lot to turn away from him. I think that we deserve a lot of retribution, but I don't think he's finished with us. And there is, I'm hearing, a big revival going on underneath the surface, and we have an awful lot going on that turned back to God because the left is just gone too far. And everybody's seeing in living color things that are just not right. And so I think that God is in control, but we are his hands and feet. We have a lot of work to do right now. If we want to return to this country that he created for us, we're going to have to do the work. That means we have to vote. We have to do our homework. We have to get out and observe. We have to be at the school board meetings, at the city council meetings, at the board of supervisors meeting. We have to be active, which is something we're not used to and we weren't taught to do.
I know a lot of Christians who feel they should never be involved in politics and who don't worry about what's going on in the country because they say, well, this is the last generation that'll see the second coming of Christ. So if this brings about the great tribulation, well, that's wonderful because we'll get raptured and Jesus will return. What would you say to them?
That sounds like the Muslim. That's what they believe, that they want to hasten the tribulation because then they get to paradise faster. To me, that's not a Christian tenet at all. I mean, that really goes against the Lord wants us to bring heaven to earth. He created us to recreate heaven down here by following in his ways. So when your attitude is God is in control, and what you mean by that is I get to go hands off and whatever happens, happens because God's going to make it happen. I don't believe that. I believe God will make it happen if we help him because he put us here for a reason. And he put us here to work every day of our lives to do something to forward his kingdom. And you can't just rest on your laurels and say, oh, well.
And that that's where I'm coming from. That doesn't mean that Jesus isn't going to return, but we don't know when it's going to be.
Precisely.
It may not be for another 1,000 years, and I'm concerned about the country and culture I'm going to leave behind for my grandchildren.
Of course, of course.
That doesn't mean that we're not saying that Jesus isn't going to come. But I also hear them say, well, you don't see people voting in the New Testament. Folks, they couldn't vote in the New Testament. They were living under the Roman Empire. Now, Roman citizens had rights. Paul the Apostle, for example, was a Roman citizen. When he was jailed for preaching the gospel, he told the jailer, hey, you're dealing with a Roman citizen, and he knew how to play the system. But he was aware that most people did not have that opportunity. He still called them for involvement, though. In Timothy, he says you should lift up prayer for kings in high places. And he gave two reasons. One, that we may live a peaceful life. And two, he said that's more conducive to the spreading of the gospel. If we're living in a peaceful life, we're going to be able to spread the gospel easier. That doesn't mean the gospel can't spread through persecution. It can, and it does. But Paul is telling us that we shouldn't be looking for the persecution. Now, I have to believe that when Paul called them to pray for the emperors and the kings, which was all they could do, if they had an opportunity to go and vote so that they could live a peaceful life and have the gospel spread, I have to believe he would have told them to do that. So if Paul was writing that same letter here to Americans, he'd say, pray for your leaders, but also go and vote for your leaders.
Absolutely. That was a right that God gave us when this country got founded. And for us to just fritter it away and say, oh, well, I'm not going to do that, is just, in my perspective, incredibly wrong. The fact that Christians and people of faith have not gotten out in numbers to vote, that's why our children are being indoctrinated into these horrific things. That's why we have a society that we have today where the criminals are getting away with everything and that there is absolutely no fairness or honesty. And it's all because people have not stood up and helped to keep the government under control. That is our job.
It is. And there was the time where Christians would leave the secular institutions and start their own Christian institutions. And then they complain about how bad the secular ones got. Now, secular ideas are getting into our Christian institutions, and the Christians still aren't doing anything. Ruth, in the time we have left, we talked about how some states are going ahead and they're voting in tougher laws. There is a bill that they're trying to pass from the federal level, though. Tell us about that, because that's a bill that, if I'm understanding correctly, it won't matter what Arizona does or what Texas does. They're going to go in there and say, you're not allowed to ask for ID when they vote, etc.
It's completely unconstitutional, but you know, when a law like that gets passed, if it were to be passed, it would take years to go through the process to have it declared unconstitutional. The damage it would do in between would just be absolutely perhaps
And by that time, some more Supreme Court justice would get through that wouldn't be willing to declare it unconstitutional.
That may very well be true too, Bob, that it's really scary. But what it does is it takes elections away from the way they were created in the Constitution to be local and state run. And it creates a federal election process. And every state would have to go by the same election laws. And what they did was to take all of California's laws, put them on steroids, and put them in that bill. So the worst election laws in this country, times two, are all in that bill. And so you could never count on a fair and honest election ever again if they implemented that bill.
Okay, Ruth Wise, Election Integrity Project, always an honor. Keep coming back. Keep keeping us posted.
Thank you so much,
Bob. We'll probably
have
you back on after the primaries to hear the fallout and how it all went. This is Bob Siegel. We will see you next time.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.